Naomi and Leah, and one doctrine. Can you believe that? But there's a picture of my family there. We live in Hamilton, and I've been for about 7 years traveling around. I'm a BIC credentialed pastor, but I've been traveling around for 7 years sharing songs and stories in churches, and I get really cool opportunities to do that. I was out in D.C. this summer. I went all the way to Vancouver with my family and stopped along the way in really cool places along the way, including Gretna, Manitoba. Have you ever heard of that little place? Beautiful. So it's always great, and I love to see friends like Pastor John again and to see what they're up to in ministry, because it's just so exciting to see. I remember him when, and now you get to have him as your pastor. And Bill was sharing with me this morning over breakfast just his love for John and his John's heart for this community, and Ange and the family as well. So you are blessed to have this pastor. I know you know that, but I'm blessed to have a friend like Pastor John who has such a good heart and is sharing that with you here. I have a mom that came with me up here. When I was thinking about who I bring with me, I do play in a whole band, but often it's hard to bring all of those guys up, and so I was just kind of thinking about that, and I thought, well, my mom is actually from Midland. She spent a lot of years here in Midland as a young lady and grew up, and then she got married and left Midland, and so I asked her if she'd come with me, and she kind of cleared her schedule and made that happen, and yesterday we plugged it into our Google Maps, and we hit the road, and we were going through like dirt roads at some point. Thought we were totally lost, but we made it. We got up here in the afternoon. My aunt and uncle live in Waverly, so we come up about once a year. We try and get up here once a year or so. And my aunt and uncle live, they are a part of the Midland Cultural Center in Midland there, and do a lot of the plays and things that happen out of there. They're sort of behind-the-scenes people, but they help out with that a lot. And my mom was here between 1956 and 1972, and I think it's such a beautiful place to grow up and to be. And so yesterday, as we were coming back into town, it was kind of a homecoming, because she was telling me stories about the old hospital that was here. And then we mentioned that to my aunt and uncle, and they said, old hospital. That's funny. The new one is so old that it's... yeah, it was a good one. But we were talking about homecoming, the idea of going back to something that you remember, those childhood memories and things. And so this week, my middle daughter is in grade 9, and she invited me to come to her high school to a football game, to the homecoming game, the first home game of the season. And I'm not really a football person, but I can appreciate it. And so I went to the game, and I saw my daughter off with her new friends in high school over there. And I sat back and had my Tim Hortons. It was kind of chilly. And I was looking around, because the football game, the field, the high school there, is the neighborhood that I grew up in. I didn't actually go to that high school because it wasn't there long. But as a little boy in grade 4, that was my stomping grounds. That's where we walked the streets. That's where we rode our bikes. That's where we did so many things. We climbed trees. And it was a great time. And as I was sort of reflecting on this idea of coming home, going back to it, and enjoying the crisp fall air, I was reminded of just those days that seemed so simple and so easy back in those days. And I remember thinking to myself, I probably never walked along with my friends and said, hey, fellas, you know, someday, this is all great, you know, road hockey, it's a lot of fun, but someday, I'd really like to have a job. I'd really like to have lots of responsibilities, bills to pay, kids to feed, and I'd like to pay taxes, because apparently that's cool, too. I couldn't picture myself as a grade 4 kid just walking along and suggesting this to the boys. So in my mind, I'm going back to these good old days and thinking about that. And it was kind of nice to just sort of be there, thinking about the good old days of 1985, fall 1985. This morning, we're going to talk about this idea of homecoming a little bit. And I want you to go back with me in your spiritual journey to the beginning, to where you met Jesus. And we're going to spend a little bit of time there. And then we're going to talk about the current context that we live in, the busyness of this world that we live in, and we're going to make a little bit of a plan for how we move forward in that. And so I want this to be a real sense of encouragement to you. But every year at this time of year, I feel like it's a good time to do it, because fall feels like the start of something new. It feels like the Leafs are in preseason, and all of us are thinking, this is their year. And we think that every year, for the last 50 whatever years. But here we are in the fall. And so I want to spend some time this morning encouraging you in that. I know you've been looking at the passage in 2 Timothy over the last few weeks that says every scripture is inspired by God, is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. But how? How do we do this? How do we live this out in our lives? How do we engage more with our Bibles? How do I sit down with my teenage kids who each have their own screen, each have their own thing that they can do, and convince them that there's value in sitting down and spending time with Jesus in this book? But I really believe there is. And so we're going to talk about how those two come together. The Bible has many great passages that talk about the Word, the value of this Word for our lives. And so a couple of them, as we're going down memory lane here, I wanted to share with you and see if you remember them. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Do you remember that? I found it funny that as I was remembering that, I was thinking the words of that verse, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." I actually hid those words in my heart many years ago. I memorized those words, and I always seem to memorize them in King James. We used to do a lot more Bible memory, didn't we? And so I'd learn them in King James, and then they come out as I was thinking about those verses. Another one was from Hebrews 4:12, that says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than a..." Yeah, double-edged sword. I can remember a conversation when I was about 16 with my friend at camp, and he told me that was his favorite verse, and he explained to me why. And I can go back in my mind and remember that moment, and it encourages me. And that was his verse. And if I were to call him up and say, "What was that verse again, Steve, that you told me?" He would say, "The Word of God is like a living and active, it's a double-edged sword." Another verse is 119, and this is Psalm 119:105. This is one that I come back to. It was made famous by the singer Amy Grant. But the words are, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Sorry, "Thy word, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I always come back to that. I always remember that, God, I don't know what direction I'm heading. From time to time, I don't know where I'm headed, but I know that you want to guide my path and give me direction and light the way for me. So what if, go back in your mind here for a second, if you could go back and pay a visit to your fourth grade self, what kinds of things do you think you would tell them? Maybe you'd give them some warnings. Maybe you'd give them a heads up about something that's coming up in their life. Maybe you'd suggest that they put a little money down on one of the Super Bowls that's coming up. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you would... You would help them to understand the things that you've learned over the years, because you've actually walked those roads. Maybe you could tell them about the bumps in the road that are going to come, or the fork in the road, which way to turn. As I thought about that, I was thinking about Jesus and how he also walked the road, how he walked more than a mile in our shoes, and somehow managed to keep his eyes always fixed on the Father. For me, that's an image I always come back to in my faith journey. Jesus sitting there praying, teaching other people how to pray. Jesus talking to the Father. Jesus doing a miracle and then going to be alone. He's saying, "Father, teach me, help me, help me understand, help me to help other people." It's a beautiful picture and I love it. But I want you for a second here today to just take a deep breath and let it out. And if you want to close your eyes for a little bit, you can. If you're able to just kind of keep your focus, that's okay too. But I want you to remember with me. Remember when you first met Jesus and the scriptures were full of life and not just information, not just rules. When you read a verse and it felt like it was written for you and you couldn't believe how something that was written so long ago was so perfect for the situation you're going through right now. Your prayer life was deep and meaningful and you felt the Lord was just a whisper or a thought away. You lived for each moment, and each moment was a gift. And then life happened. Life's busy schedule got in the way, and the sacred time and space you used to use to spend with your Lord is a hard thing to find anymore. Now the TV or the laptop are almost always on. And the distractions are so powerful that the thought of actually sitting down with your physical Bible and spending time in the Word actually kind of feels like a bit of a waste of time, because you've got so many other things that you just have to do. When you do sit down and try to read, you don't know where to start. Perhaps you start in the Psalms, because David wrote some pretty amazing songs there. But then they start turning a little weird. All this smite my enemy stuff starts to come up. And you begin to think, wait a minute, I thought we were pacifists. I thought God was all about love. Then you start to dig into it, and your mind actually starts thinking about the complex God and how complex He must really be. How God allows people to kill each other in this world. And then you start to wonder, how does this whole love thing really work? Why did God create a world that would turn on each other, where His own people would deliberately hurt and disobey Him? Why did He make a world where people would get sick and die? And why did He give us that moment in our lives when we surrendered our lives to Him, only to someday let our faith start to grow cold and our relationship with Him start to feel distant? And then, as you're sitting there in that moment, enjoying being back with God again, even though you have all these questions, and it's in that moment where you just start to lay it all down again, and then your phone goes off, and you're right back into the reality of the day. You're right back in that moment where, oh yeah, so I've got to call that person, I've got to go pick up those things, my kids will be done at this time, and before you know it, that moment is gone. Now, if this is you here today, the description that I gave, and I got to confess, like, it's easy for me to write those words because that's me. That's often me trying to find that time for God. Not out of guilt, but out of a desire to actually be back close with my Lord. And so, if that is you, I just want you to take another big deep breath. Just let it go here. You're among friends. You're not alone. And if we were to take a show of hands here today to see how many people would love to spend more time with God, I think we had every hand raised. But we can't just stay in this rut where everything else takes priority over it. Like any relationship, we need to make that a priority. And so, I want to just scare you a little bit with some stats really quick. They've boggled my mind, but the average person will spend more than 5 years of their lives on social media. The average time spent per day on YouTube, 40 minutes, Facebook, 35, Snapchat, and Instagram, Twitter, and then you got Netflix with the shows that people, they call it binge watching, where they just don't want to watch one show anymore. It's like, I got to watch a whole season. And you carve out that time for that. But somehow we just can't make enough time for God. We need to make some changes in our life. And again, it's not out of duty. It's out of this desire to get back to that place, to go home, to come back to the place where everything in your life makes more sense because you've centered it on Jesus. So I want to tell you a quick story, and I want to sing a song. I live in a neighborhood where, not far from our house, is a home across the street where it's a long-term care facility, and there's a bunch of people that live in there year-round, and they don't seem to have a whole lot to do. And so there was a gentleman that used to always sit off to the one side and just have his cigarettes and just sit there and drink Tim Hortons coffee all the time. And I used to walk my kids to school past this guy. And so I'd hold their hands, and I remember as I'd walk towards them, I'd sort of shift to the other side of the sidewalk, look over this way, not make eye contact, and go. Until one day, this guy stood up, kind of ran over to me, and he said, "Hi, I'm Andy." And he put his hand out, and I reached out, and I held his hand, we shook his hand, and I looked him in the eyes. And all of a sudden, I started to see God's love, God's incredible love for Andy, God's changing the way I'm seeing Andy all of a sudden, and he's a creation of God. He's a person. And God is showing me His love through Andy in a way I'd never expected. So Andy went on to say, in a few days, it's my birthday. And I said, oh, that's really cool. He told me he's going to be 53. It's interesting because I just saw him 2 days ago, and his next birthday is on Monday. So
So as we left, I said, I got to take the girls to school. And as we left him, my daughter said, we got to get Andy a birthday present. And so we happened to be selling those chocolate bars for school. And they gave him one of those, and we made him a card that said, happy birthday, Andy. Love from the Martin family. And he got the card, and he got the chocolate bar. And he said, how'd you know my favorite was caramel milk? And we were like, well, that's the one we pulled out of the box. But you don't need to know that. And Andy has become this friend that I've spent time with over the years. And he told me about his childhood growing up in foster care his whole life. Never knew his parents. And he used to love to play hockey when he was a kid. And I got to know his story. And the more I got to know Andy, the more I got to know God. And I think we need to look around in our lives for those types of people, that the least expected ones to teach us more about our incredible God. Because we're all really broken people. Thank God we are saved by His incredible grace. But I want to share this song called Broken People that was sort of inspired by relationships like the one that I've built with Andy. So, I've come here so far. I've told us that we're broken. I've reminded us of the way our relationship used to be. And I showed you some pretty messed up stats about the world that we live in today. But friends, there is good news. There is hope for us as we try to follow Jesus. As we look into His Word, we're going to look at Matthew 5. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And I come back to this passage, to these passages, all the time. It seems to, there's just so much depth into each passage, each section of these chapters here. And so, I want to kind of give you a perspective of when Jesus goes to the Word, when Jesus starts to pray, the various verses and things that He remembers from the Old Testament, from the Scriptures, He quotes these things and He teaches people with them, these principles for their lives. And we can look to these Scriptures and find purpose and meaning for our lives. In this passage, it starts off by saying, now when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came with Him, and He began to teach them. So how do we know that that happened? Well, we read that in here. And so Jesus begins to teach. And He teaches about these disciples about the fulfillment of the law, and the murder, and adultery, and divorce, and how those things are bad, and oaths. And then He starts to talk about an eye for an eye. And then we're going to look in here, starting at verse 43. Where Jesus starts to teach some pretty countercultural things here. So in verse 43, He says, you have heard the law. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of God, your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is teaching. Jesus is inspiring His own disciples here to understand the incredible love the Father has for them. The love that stops putting judgment on other people and starts to see them and love them. And that's what Andy teaches me every single time I talk to him. This idea that somebody that I used to sort of see as a dangerous person or a person that I would avoid, all of a sudden, the more time I'm with him, he's causing me to look to the Father and grow there. And Jesus is saying some pretty radical stuff here in his teaching, some pretty countercultural stuff. He's teaching us how to read Scripture, that we are supposed to love others. And he's how we are finding inspiration in this incredibly busy and complicated world that we live in today. And so I think we need to make some shifts in the way we schedule our lives. And we are going to look in a little bit at a sort of a list of things that I've found to help me in that. But I want you to know that as you look into Jesus, as you model your life after Christ, that there are definitely ups and downs along the way. And it is a journey. It is something that is difficult and a daily sacrifice. I have a friend that's a great musician and a great person who says, My prayer every day is that God would give me a vision for this day, that I would follow Him. And I think that's such a beautiful picture for us. So if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like the weight of, yes, Jesus, I know that I'm supposed to follow You. I know that I'm supposed to spend time with You every day. And I want to grow in that relationship. You've got to make some shifts. You've got to start to make that relationship something that has as much priority as getting those kids to hockey practice, as staying at work late to get that project finished, as trying to carve out somehow time in your life to watch every single sport event that happens. Because sometimes I do all of those things, and I need to push away from that. So it's hard, though, because we carry this weight of people need me. People need my help. I'm the person that can do that, so I need to be the one doing that so that I can help these other people. So actually what I'm doing is good. And the weight of that is so heavy to carry sometimes that it's so painful. And we need to sort of sometimes release those things. But the other thing that we can do is cling to the promises that Jesus has, that He doesn't leave us or forsake us, that He doesn't want us to carry that weight alone. And so there's a beautiful little passage just a few chapters later in Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. It says this, "Come to Me." This is after He's been praying for a while, and Jesus Himself is praying to the Father. He says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." This is good news for us. This is good news in a world that is so me-focused, so my watch and my phone-focused, that Jesus is saying, "I know this. I knew this was coming. I know this. But come to Me. Lay down your burdens and I will give you rest." I wrote a song called "Rest in Your Arms." So every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. Those are really encouraging words. That the scripture can teach us, can encourage us, can equip us to then hide that into our heart and go out with it and to share it with people in our communities, in our lives. And so I want to give you some, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, "Okay, that's great, but I do have to leave here today and I'm going to go back to work tomorrow and I have so many things to do, and so yes, I hear you, but..." So if you're sitting there, I have a couple of some practical tools, things that I've been trying to do lately to help me through this process. So the first one is to actually dust off your physical Bible and get it out again. And open it up in the morning, in the evening, whenever you can find the time to do so. Open it up and begin to just read. And if you don't know what to read, put it on your table and just pray, "God, I don't know what to read. Give me something here. Give me a little gift. Give me something here." And begin to read. I told you that I spend a lot of time in Jesus' words, in the red letters, and it's red in my Bible anyway. And that helps me to understand Jesus and to come back to Him always as my center. But often I love to go to the old stories in the Old Testament and look through the Psalms, and I write music, so often I'm in the Psalms trying to see if there's new songs or anything in there as well. So actually just read your Bible. Just pull out your Bible and read it again. Even if you have it on your phone as well, there's something amazing about holding one of these. Mine used to be black, actually. Seminary was busy, so I use it a lot. So read your physical Bible. Some helpful tools that I've found, and I think Pastor John has mentioned a few times over the last few weeks, but YouVersion is a Bible app where you can actually share verses with other people. And my daughters recently got onto that, and I can see, like, Naomi Martin posted this verse. And it's really cool, because then I can go and say, "Hey, Naomi, you posted that verse. What was it about that verse that you wanted to share?" And then we get to have a cool conversation about that. So YouVersion, it's just a little app that you can download and use on your phone. Another one is called the Bible Project. I just learned about that one this summer. And it has videos. So I'm a visual learner. So I can read through Genesis 40 times and still not quite get it. They have a way of just drawing it and explaining it that way. And it's I think they work with the Bible Project, so it's like an app maybe that goes with it. So if you've seen those videos, I think you saw one last week or the week before. So So Bible Project is another one. Bible Gateway is a great thing. If you're Googling something, I spend so much time in Bible Gateway just to kind of get verses. If I have, what's that verse? I think it said something about word or something. Plug that in there and it helps you get several, many, many different versions of the same thing. But one that has been so key for me my whole journey as a Christ follower is to find a mature Christian to talk to ask questions to ask them to pray for you, ask them to check in with you and see how you're doing with your Bible reading. Not because they want to have harsh accountability or get you in trouble or anything like that, but because they want to encourage you. And so I know these wonderful people are here among us. Last night I stayed with Bill, and Bill is one of those people that he's a great person, has a great heart, and would love to encourage other people with that. So try and find somebody that can encourage you in that. And join a Bible study. I know that you have home churches starting up really soon, house churches, and so get involved in that. It's such a great way to grow. Even if you feel like you don't even know where to start with the Bible, that's a great place to start. Just recognize that and start to be around people who are interested and are growing in that. My wife sets timers. So every Monday night at 7:15, timer goes off, and it reminds her to call her parents. So she calls her parents. So the other day when I was writing a list of things that we could do to kind of help us remember, she said, well, why don't you use a timer to say, do your Bible study? I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. So I'm adding that to my list. Set a timer, maybe in the morning, maybe it's your alarm clock, and just spend some time alone with God, His Word. The other thing that I need to do is remove the distractions. So sometimes a distraction for me is actually being alone in my house, because I have a very busy mind. There's stuff always happening. So for some reason, that doesn't work for me as well as going to a coffee shop and then I put on my headphones, because I can't listen to what's happening or I'll get super distracted. But if I put on my headphones and put on some nice quiet indie music or something like that, then I'm in that moment, and that's where I love to do my devotions. And I also love coffee, so that works out well. I'm so glad my mom was able to come with me today. My mom is somebody who really exemplifies love and grace, and she is someone who has an awareness of the presence of the Lord always. And I would say even as she is somewhere in her 60s now, we never discuss age, it's becoming more and more so. She texts me almost every morning and encourages me with a Bible verse. She actually did this morning. I was driving here. I pulled over because I heard my pocket buzz and got to stop and see what that is. And it was my mom, and she was saying that she was praying for me this morning. And I really appreciate that. And so maybe you're a mom, maybe you're a dad. You could be that for your child as well. Well, for someone else's child, that's an incredible gift as well. I've been on this journey of coming back, homecoming for me, coming back to the place where I first met Jesus. I was 5 years old when my mom helped me pray a prayer and ask Jesus into my heart. And then I was 16 years old when I realized that that prayer was good, but I didn't really understand what it meant to really follow Jesus with my life. So at 16, in my own bedroom with no music playing or anything going on, I just got down on my knees and I prayed and asked Jesus to be the Lord in my life. And I surrendered my life to Him. And ever since then, it has been an incredible journey. But over the years, sometimes those times get pushed to the back because you're so busy doing these other things. So I just want to encourage you this morning to get back to that place, to make that a priority in your life. I really believe that if your spiritual health is good, then the other things in your life, the meetings that you have coming up this week, the duties and the jobs or whatever else that you have to do, those things just kind of come together better because you're core is good. You're centered on Christ. And so I am excited for this church. I'm so happy to have met you. I had been hearing from Pastor John about this wonderful church up in Penetang. And it's so great to actually be here. And I hope this morning has kind of spoken to you in a beautiful way, not in a guilt way, but in a way to encourage you to get back to this. So let me just pray for you as we conclude here. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you so much for your word made flesh in Jesus that has come and taught us how to live, how to love each other. The radical teachings about love in a world at the time that was so not about love, so much fighting and so much stealing of land and other things, and it was just such a mess. And yet, Jesus is sitting there on a mountainside teaching his disciples that love is the key, that loving your enemy. And so, God, help us to understand how to love each other. Help us understand how to love ourselves. Help us to know how to get back to those times in our lives when we are so close to you that we could just feel your breath. God, I just pray that as people leave from here today, that they would be inspired and not guilted into going back to their quiet spot and their quiet time with the Lord. We just thank you so much that you welcome us back with open arms, that you take the burdens from us. And we just thank you that this is going to be an amazing year. As this church dives into reunion and the message there, and then lives it out in their daily lives, that you would bless them for that. And really just grow this church as part of your kingdom. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to provide you with an update from the search team and the board on our search for the next generation ministry director. So at this time, we have not been able to fill this position. And so the board has made the decision to move forward with an interim position to assist with regular and ongoing duties of ministry here at Covenant. This interim position will be focused on youth and congregational life. And the position we're going to fill is going to be called Interim Youth and Congregational Life Director. This position will be 40 hours a week as budgeted for the Next Generation Ministry Director position. And so we're just so thankful that God does answer prayers and has led us to one of our own church members to fill this interim position. I'm excited and blessed to tell you that the interim position has been accepted by Mary Paye. And I was just about to say, please join search team and board in welcoming Mary, but you just did, so that's great. The details for when Mary will start will be worked out with Pastor John and will commence when she is able. So again, the board and I thank you for your prayers and support, and we just ask for your continued prayers for Mary as she begins this new position and as she continues to heal. And just also thank you again for the prayers for the board and the search team as we continue to search for someone for the next generation ministry director. So thank you.